I'd like to do my favorite Christmas song of all the ones I've recorded.
I'll have a blue Christmas. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree.
Blue Christmas by Elvis Presley.
God, you're right. How about that?
I don't know who the woman is.
That's,
It's not Anne Margaret, is it?
It's, Maria Menounos.
I don't believe you.
Making that up.
She would have been perhaps two.
All right, everybody, it's the Brian and Vinny Show. It is December 14th, or as I post on the front page regularly, November 14th, 2011, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We're, of course, in the Christmas season here on this show, and it is a free show today. My God, yet another free show. So that means, because we have so many things to talk about today, you're going to get actually almost no deep analysis whatsoever.
Good.
I'm just going to rush through everything really quickly.
I got nothing to say anywhere.
Just rush through it all really quickly, give a thumbs up, thumbs down, move on, do some shout-outs in the show. You know,
that's
it's Christmas.
The goal. That's the
you
goal.
Should all be out Christmas shopping and spreading cheer.
Caroling.
Being holly jolly with your family. You shouldn't be sitting here listening to us talk about wrestling shows. Although there were some good wrestling shows this week. Except for Final Resolution. That was no good. And Raw sucked. And SmackDown was horrible. No, I'm joking. All right, let's start with, may as well do them in order. Vinny, I want you to give me the quick and dirty on the SmackDown show from this past week.
SmackDown. Here's my notes. We had Cody Rhodes laid out Booker T. And then he took his place on the commentary desk. And he was still speaking in a dramatic tone and being very phony. It was annoying. Had Wade versus Zeke. In a beat-the-clock match for Wade and Randy Orton, whoever won their match fastest got to pick the stips.
Can you believe that in a beat-the-clock challenge,
mm-hmm.
where Wade Barrett had to set the time that Randy Orton had to beat, they had these two guys go out for 7 minutes and 53 seconds?
That is not the booking I would have done. Well,
Wade Barrett and Ezekiel Jackson.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so they went 7:53. Wade won. They did nothing of note. They went 7:53, probably 3 minutes of it was a chin lock.
There was a long chin lock.
Yeah, but hey, great. to keep it simple and unfuck-upable. Wade was still blown up at the end. He had to cut a promo afterwards, and he was working for it. And he ran down Orton. They said, the winner, as I said, the winner of the Beat the Clock Challenge got to pick the stips for their match. Meanwhile, they also said Big Show versus Mark Henry would be a chairs match.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, theoretically, if the winner of the challenge had picked appropriately, we could have had two chairs matches on one pay-per-view.
We could have.
What a show that would have been. Otunga was on there. Teddy booked him in a match. Who cares? We had the latest bullshit with Michael Cole and Daniel Bryan.
I actually thought this was entertaining.
Cole cuts a great heel promo.
And Daniel Bryan was a passionate, angry man.
Sure. But two things. One, we see it every week. Actually, three things. We see it every week. Two, we see it over and over and over every week. And three, Michael Cole is an announcer. He's a heel announcer who's been waiting for him to get his comeuppance now for like 2 years. And it's never getting paid off.
Well, it got paid off and then he just came back and
just, nothing ever happens.
Nothing changed.
He just keeps being a jackass. I'm beyond sick of it at this point. So the gimmick was that they were shouting at each other and Brian also pointed out that he had tapped out Cody Rhodes a week ago, and then when Brian went after Cole, Cody blindsided Brian and laid him out. Zach beat Heath Slater.
Mm-hmm.
DiBiase beat Jinder Mahal. Cole made fun of JR's Bell's palsy. That's lovely. He was, before that point, he was hysterical on here. He was burying DiBiase for hanging out with fans, saying, quote, "Do you know what some of these people smell like? It's disgusting." True. And then he was ranting about how his headphones wouldn't work, and nobody brought him any water. And also, quote, "The only thing good in life was that Cody Rhodes is going to beat Brian later tonight."
What a Scrooge.
He was in a foul mood. They showed Big Show putting Trace Adkins through a table at the American Country Awards. What I got out of this is that Trace Adkins is enormous.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. I would guess 6'6 and about 260.
I was watching this, and I also could not believe the size of this man. I cannot believe Vince has not tried to sign him to a contract yet.
Yeah.
Maybe he has. And Trace just said, "As if, homie."
Yeah.
In a southern accent.
So, Show came out for a promo. He talked about beating Brock Lesnar to become world heavyweight champion.
Which got no reaction whatsoever, by the way.
Yeah.
You just blow it off that it got no reaction.
I'm surprised when anything gets a reaction these days.
Brock Lesnar is the biggest pay-per-view draw in pro wrestling or mixed martial arts right now. I can't say in all of sports entertainment. Cause
there are some boxers.
But as far as pro wrestling and MMA, no one right now is bigger than Brock Lesnar. Maybe GSP, but I don't think so. Brock Lesnar is the biggest pay-per-view draw in sports entertainment, and Big Show mentioned his name, and there was no reaction whatsoever. I don't really know what to make of that, to be honest with you.
That the six-year-olds who watch WWE are not the same 18-year-olds who are buying UFC.
Could be. 18-year-olds.
Whatever. So, he was running down Henry. Henry came out, and the fans were saying, "What?" And so he told them to shut up, and the fans chanted, "You shut up!" That made me laugh. They went back and forth for a while. Henry got in the ring. He wanted to show his word that Show would not put his hands on him.
I thought this just went on forever.
Yeah.
I like Mark Henry.
I don't remember any of it. I'm looking at my notes. It's a very long paragraph.
It just went on forever.
Yeah. So Henry eventually sucker punched Big Show, and Show fired back and went after Henry's leg and hit him with a chair a bunch of times. Hornswoggle did ring announcing. He's been doing this a lot lately. He's very enthusiastic.
And short.
Well, I was going to speak about his merits of this job. He is short, Brian. You could be short and be a good ring announcer. He's not. Not yet. He mumbles a lot. Like I say, he's very enthusiastic. Sheamus beat David Otunga. Then he got along fine with Hornswoggle afterwards, so I guess they put that whole Battle Royal thing behind them. They showed video game footage of Brian and Cody. It was interrupted with the Mysterious Superstar video. Got Daniel Bryan versus Cody Rhodes. What happened here? They were doing a match. It was good. And then Bryan missed a headbutt. And Booker T ran down and attacked Cody for the DQ. So the match is over. Cole is going crazy screaming about how Booker T ambushed the man. Cody Rhodes won. Michael Cole should have been happy.
Well, Daniel
Bryan lost.
He was still attacked by a third man.
I am too smart for this company. So are you. And by you, I don't just mean Bryan Alvarez. I mean everyone within the sound of my voice. Oksana and Teddy were talking about WWE Network. Cody interrupted. Teddy booked Cody versus Booker T in a title match for the pay-per-view. I had forgotten Cody was the Intercontinental Champion. I don't remember the last time he defended the title. And Cody was mad at Oksana for staring at him, but he didn't notice that she was staring at him with lust in her eyes. Poor Teddy. Orton had
Teddy?
He's going to lose Oksana to Cody Rhodes.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Teddy has had 1,000 opportunities to seal the deal here.
Can't argue.
And she offers herself up to him on each show. And he stammers and he stutters. And he messes up the whole thing.
Right.
So, it's about time she moved on.
You're not wrong. Stryker interviewed Orton. It was boring.
You know they'll forget all about Oksana and Cody Rhodes by this Friday.
Probably.
They'll forget all about it.
Probably.
Definitely.
Orton wrestled Ziggler in the main event. This is the second half of the Beat the Clock Challenge. I was bummed because I want to see these men wrestle for longer than 8 minutes. It was very good.
Actually, this was fine because normally, let's say this match got 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. There'd be a 4 minute commercial break. You'd get eight.
Well, there's that.
This was an uninterrupted 8 minutes.
They had a very good match, especially at the end was Orton, when Orton was running wild and Dolph was just blatantly trying to kill the clock. And with 40 seconds left, Wade appeared. He threw Randy into the post. They teased a count out, but Orton dragged himself into the ring and he leapt to his feet and hit an RKO to win with 2 seconds to spare. Hell of a finish. Then Wade immediately attacked him afterwards, even though Randy would get to choose the stipulation. Wade said he was going to make a suggestion. A table got involved. Randy made a comeback. Wade fled. Dolph had to go through the table. And they interpreted this as meaning Randy Orton had chosen a tables match. So we do not have to watch two chairs matches on one pay-per-view. And I thought this was a good match. Far and away, the highlight of the show.
You know, I watched this match. I thought it was great, especially the very end. The finish with, like, seconds left. It was all perfectly done. Which brings us to this TNA pay-per-view.
Actually, it does, doesn't it?
I'm going to give spoilers. Nobody cares about TNA.
That's a spoiler?
Well, I'm just saying in general. I don't think people are going to be upset that I spoil TNA for them. But here we go. So, on SmackDown, they do this great beat-the-clock match. Dude tries to stall out the clock. He gets caught. He gets RKO'd. He gets pinned. Everybody goes home happy. Awesome. On a show that we're asked to pay $44.95 for in HD, they also have a match where you try and beat the clock, and a guy, it's tied, and the champion runs and runs and runs and runs, and the time limit expires,
yeah,
and the show goes off the air with no main event winner. Again, if this had been a TV match, fine. It was free. But I paid $44.95, and I didn't get a finish. Now, as Dave noted on the show Sunday, Dave liked the finish in the sense that it's a good finish to build up something else. Where are they going with this feud? Well, if they actually were going somewhere with it, then I would say, Dave, perhaps you're right. However, as it turns out, after Dave had made a statement, the next day when they taped Impact, you do know what they did, don't you, Vinny?
No, of course not.
Really?
Why would I read Impact spoilers? I don't care.
Because you just got to see where they go with this.
Hmm.
They gave the 5 more minutes at the beginning of Impact.
Well, there you go. They've made it very clear.
There you go, he says.
Well, yeah, Brian. We've been doing this. How many years have we been talking about Impact?
Hold on a minute,
though. No longer give a shit about pay-per-views. They consider pay-per-views a nuisance they must do to get to the TV show.
In the history of wrestling, has there ever been a match that began on pay-per-view and ended on television 4 days later? In any company.
Not to my knowledge.
They went to a draw on TV, and the fans chanted 5 more minutes, and so they went off the air, and 4 days later, the first thing they do on television is they give them 5 more minutes. Not even, hey, let's do a rematch on television and get a winner here. No, Sting came out and said, let's do 5 more minutes at the beginning of the show, 4 days later, supposedly, when you're both fresh. Maybe we'll get a finish in 5 minutes. Which, of course, they didn't. So then they did a normal match, and Bobby Roode retained the title.
So that's the end of it, then?
Yeah, that's the end.
Well, that is what they do.
That is the end.
You don't like it when I say there you go, but that's all I can say.
No, this is astonishing. They do stupid things all the time, but I can't even conceive of the idea of doing a draw on pay-per-view. Again, it would be one thing if they went to a draw, and then on TV they just said, okay, main event of the show, Roode and AJ, must be a winner. That'd be fine. But to actually start the show and go, now we're going to give you people the 5 more minutes. That's like literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard in wrestling. I can't think of anything dumber.
I was fine with the show going off the air and the match being a draw. I had no problem with it. I had no problem with the idea.
You didn't pay a cent for it.
That's not entirely irrelevant, but I was fine with the idea of the heel champion playing for the draw and just trying to kill clock and escape with his title, but the execution of it was so lame.
Vinny,
I was just talking here about Dolph and Randy, where Randy was running wild and Dolph was literally running away, trying to kill Clock, and Randy was frantically hitting moves and going for covers. The last minute of the TNA pay-per-view, there was no contact.
Let me give you an analogy.
Drew just walked around.
Let me give you an analogy.
It was lame.
I went to the new Safeway the other night, and they had a box of donut holes for 99 cents.
Okay. You say that like it's your proof.
Could have bought 45 boxes of donut holes for what I paid for this pay-per-view. And I didn't get a finish in the main event.
You know, I didn't... maybe I did not give you any money. That's true. But I did drive back and forth, which is like $10. And it's 2 extra hours of my life I didn't get. I devoted 5 hours of my life to this pay-per-view, and I didn't get a finish either.
Well, yeah. But I also devoted time in my life, and I paid $44.95, not counting tax. And by the way, the cable company double-billed me last month. That's another matter entirely. Comcast, everyone. But the point is, that's the thing about the UFC pay-per-views, too. When you mentioned 18-year-olds buying UFC shows, and I scoffed. Reason for that is because the 18-year-olds are the ones that are streaming the pay-per-views.
I see.
Why? Because there's, like, a show every single weekend, and you're asking 18-year-olds, many of whom are probably unemployed because the economy sucks, to pay $54.95 twice a month? I don't think so. That's another matter entirely. But the point of this is, I was upset not to have a finish in the main event.
All right.
Especially since they gave me the finish on TV 3 days later. Why couldn't you just give me 5 more minutes on the pay-per-view and just finish this thing off?
Because, Brian, you were the only person watching the pay-per-view. They have done this for years.
It's not true.
The pay-per-view is a commercial for the TV show.
There were 7,000 other...
That's how their company is built.
7,000 other people, just like me.
Wow. Well,
ripped off.
Is that really how many people watch these shows?
Yeah, 7,000 people.
Very, very few.
7,000 people probably bought this pay-per-view. This was the least number of responses Dave has gotten for a show since before they were on Spike TV. You know?
Like when they had, like, well, yeah.
8 thumbs up, 6 thumbs down. And that's literally the numbers we're probably going to get. I don't know what the numbers are.
Hmm.
But no one saw this show. And so for the diehard, for the people that love TNA so much, for the diehard, most passionate, strongest supporters of the product, they gave them a match without a finish, and then they get the finish free on television.
They did.
Astonishing. This
it's
really,
not, though.
Honest to God, this one astonishes me.
I take it as business as usual.
I don't, because things have been better of late. You think when things were better, they wouldn't do so many stupid things, but this takes the cake.
No, I know. I expect nothing out of these people. Even when it gets better, I expect them to fuck something up soon, and they did. The other thing I took out of this pay-per-view was you and I are both very much into James Storm, cutting just awesome promos lately. He's had some good matches, and he comes on here, and he has his match with Kurt Angle, and I thought James Storm looked really, really bad.
Hmm.
And when he's doing a long singles match as opposed to a tag match, you realize he's athletically below the level of most main eventers these days, And then the match went on. He tried to keep up with Kurt Angle, and he got very, very, very blown up. And to the point where not just he was doing things slowly, but he had trouble getting up and over for moves. And it kind of sucked because he's been so great on promos, and they put him over as strong as they possibly could here. He kicked out of everything and hit his finisher one time and won. And James Storm did not deliver.
Well, the fans not caring didn't help one bit.
I didn't care about anything, but...
Well, yeah, that didn't help.
I watched other matches that they did not care about, and I did not think, wow, that guy looks bad. This one, I thought, I did not think, wow, the fans don't care about him, or wow, the fans aren't making noise. I thought, wow, James Storm looks bad.
Hmm. I didn't think he looked that bad. He looked great. Certainly was not their first match. But yeah. I also watched the rest of the show.
Yeah, other than that, I did not get my 5 hours worth of anything out of this. Just usual, forgettable, pointless TNA pay-per-view.
Hmm.
Thumbs down.
No thoughts on any of the matches here?
Actually, I just closed my notes. I really don't have any thoughts on them. Just a bunch of two-star shit. Just a bunch of matches. I will open it back up to see if I missed anything. Got nothing to say about Daniels and RVD. It was a SmackDown match on a TNA pay-per-view.
That actually sounds like an improvement.
You may have a point there. I don't want to talk about Eric Young and Robbie E. Pope and Morgan and Crimson, what happened there?
They had a horrible match.
My notes here read, everyone lumbers into each other for a while and champs win with double clothesline. Sucked.
That about covers it.
Yeah.
I gave that a half a star.
I went 3/4. I liked it just a little bit more than you did.
Wow.
I don't know why. I cannot argue that rating. Cash and Aries, on this show that 7,000 people watched, they risked their lives doing a crazy, stupid, top rope powerbomb Super Frankensteiner spot. Finish was great. It sounds overbooked, but they used one pair of brass knucks, then a second pair of brass knucks, then a title belt, and then a ref distraction, and then a brainbuster. Trust me, it was awesome.
Yes.
You'll just have to take my word for it. It would take too long to go into here.
It worked because it played into the story of the match as opposed to just doing stuff. How many times do I see a pay-per-view and they just do a bunch of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do that here. Everything made sense. They were trying to out-heal each other.
Yes.
And they were successful.
Well, Austin Aries was. Especially was successful, yes. Gail and Mickey, I thought was very good. Before the match, after about 16 tries, they managed to air a hype video and it was nothing.
And they aired it again.
You've never seen so much work going into getting something so mediocre on the air. Although that sounds like a lot of things about TNA, actually. And yeah, I thought Gail and Mickey had a hell of a women's match. Pushing 3 stars. Really good. And Gail hit a finisher in 1 after Madison distracted, which is fine, because it means we get to see them wrestle more. That's good.
Vinny, don't get your hopes up, homie.
I won't get to see them wrestle more, is that what you're saying?
They've already ended the entire Rude AJ fight.
Yeah.
You may never see these two have a match ever again with each other.
Yeah, you're probably right. And then Sting and Hardy had their cage match. The idiocy continued as Jeff Hardy risked his life and nearly died for 7,000 fans.
With a bad back.
With a bad back. And presumably, not going to take any painkillers afterwards. Doing a stupid senton off the top of a cage. What happened here? There was Karen unlocked herself. She slammed the door on Hardy. It was not the finish. She tried to bring the guitar in. Sting carried her away. Hardy won with the twist of fate. Star and a half. Although Jeff Hardy did get the biggest reaction on the show by far.
I gave this 2.5 stars.
That's all I got to say about the TNA pay-per-view. Don't watch the show, anyone.
And there you go, everybody.
Waste of time.
Let's play a song here. I'm too depressed. Too depressed so far.
Well, now we got to talk about Raw, so...
Raw was better than the TNA pay-per-view.
Was it?
I think so. I'm not entirely sure. Let's play a song first.
When you've got a headache, what does extra strength mean to you?
It means Excedrin. Extra strength means relief is inside. Extra strength means Excedrin.
Extra strength means not feeling the pain anymore. Extra strength means Excedrin.
We went to lunch at Anthony's, and I had salmon, which I've been hungry for a long time. We got in the car, and we were going to drive around sightseeing, and all of a sudden, my shoulder on the left side started hurting really bad. We thought, uh-oh, maybe she's having a heart attack.
Excedrin, the extra strength pain reliever. More total strength than any regular strength aspirin or non-aspirin tablet. Excedrin, for millions of people.
Before we stopped, I took 2 Excedrin. By the time we got to the fire station, I was starting to feel better.
Extra strength means Excedrin.
Uh-oh.
Wow, what a commercial that was.
Oh, my God. Was that part of Slammy's Raw? Did that fit on the show?
No, that was Granny's Excedrin commercial.
Am I making a joke about how awful it was?
Oh, Vinny.
I thought that sucked.
Why?
Well, it wasn't funny.
It was Granny in an Excedrin commercial.
Yeah.
She's fine, everybody, by the way. She did not have a heart attack.
Oh, good.
Well, fine. Maybe we'll play, I don't know what we got. I don't got anything new for everybody.
Play something old.
How about this one from Charles?
Wah, bah, bah, loo, wah, blah, oh. Bam, boom. Tootie Fruity. Oh, Rudy. 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 Mmm, Tootie Fruity.
Wow.
Better?
That, I don't know, even know what to make of that. Apparently that was from Wrestling Observer Live about 10 years ago. Maybe longer. Like a show with Raven or something, and I don't know where I got Tootie Fruity. Somebody emailed me and told me what happened, but I've already forgotten. Don't read emails in the middle of the night. Because you won't remember what they say in the morning.
Words to live by.
Well, let's start with Raw.
Raw was...
3 hours! Raw.
Here, okay, here's what I did with Raw, and I think I'm going to do this with all shows from now on. I watched Raw 1 hour at a time. I watched 1 hour Monday night, another hour Tuesday morning, and the third hour Tuesday afternoon.
This sounds
this
the most horrendous way to watch a show.
No, because... it's much better than giving it 3 hours in a straight shot. Just when...
Why wouldn't you want to get a bad show over with?
Because then you... Because it's the same reason we play songs on this show. You need a break. You need a break. I'm done with 2 hours of wrestling at a time. I'm going to try to avoid that from now on. Take breaks. Do something fun.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like anything else. So you mentioned that Raw... Said it was better. I think you said it was better than TNA. I would say there's...
There was more wrestling on TNA.
There was more wrestling on TNA. Although, actually, there was one match on Raw that I liked more than anything on the TNA show. There was a lot more horrible stuff on Raw. Raw was a disaster. TNA was a waste of time. So you can take your pick, which is better overall. It was the Slammy show. It opened with Booker T coming out to present the Did I Just See That Award. Hornswoggle was out there, too. All the presenters came out with Alicia and Eve, who were looking mighty fine this evening. So, the nominees for Did I Just See That were Jim Ross dancing, Santino almost winning the Rumble, a fan throwing a beverage on Truth. You know what? Fuck this. Jim Ross won. Jim Ross comes out to accept the Slammy. Cole interrupts. It leads to a god-awful segment that would have been Jim Ross and Michael Cole rapping, except Jim Ross forgot his lines.
Yes.
I live alone. I live in my house alone. There's me and a cat who spends most of his time downstairs. I was horrified someone would walk in and catch me watching this shit. This was terrible. So, even though Jim Ross fucked up and forgot everything, the fans still liked him more. They would not let it end. They had to have the old man try a spin-a-rooney. He was a trooper. He made an ass out of himself for our amusement. Great. This show was 15 minutes old by the end of this, and nothing had happened.
Yeah.
Holy God. Foley and DiBiase presented the holy shit moment of the year.
Foley, which is different, as noted, from the oh my God moment of the year.
Also different than the Did I Just See That Award.
Yeah.
These are all different categories. If you can distinguish what makes one...
How many categories about awful can we have on one show?
I don't know. Mick Foley, by the way, is growing a sweet mullet. I don't know if you noticed this.
He's always had a mullet. He's had a mullet his entire career, Vinny.
Maybe he's just been off TV for a while and I forgot.
I can't remember a single time in his life, except when he shaved his head, that he didn't have a mullet. I think you need to go back and check this out.
Did he have a mullet in TNA?
Yeah.
Obviously he did when he was Cactus.
Anytime he's had long hair, he's had a mullet. He cuts the bangs short. That's a mullet.
That's part of it. Cutting the side short. He had short hair, relatively, on the top and sides, and it was going down the back of his neck.
Well, maybe it's just, maybe it's an out-of-control faux hawk.
Hmm.
It's a flow hawk. Laugh.
The holy shit moment of the year was Big Show and Mark Henry breaking the ring. So Show came out to accept, said he needed the world title next, and then he went straight to a match. Show versus Wade. Wade cut a promo saying
he'd be important. How did I get you downplay this Show versus Wade? This was the first match, and it took, I think, 45 minutes to get into the ring.
And they wrestled for a minute and a half.
And they went a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I got out of this was One,
this show sucks.
Well, that too, but a few things got out of this. Sho managed to bust himself open taking a ring post. That's funny. He's been doing this for a long time. Two, they did the spot where Big Sho was standing on the floor and Wade is standing on the apron. And from that position, Big Sho chopped Wade over the ropes to the inside of the ring. That was awesome. And that's it. Everything else was sucked and stupid. We had to wait for a two-minute match. Road Dogg came out to present the Pipe Bomb of the Year. He was wearing a New School DX shirt. So I guess he's forgiven Shawn Michaels and Hunter for not accepting his million-dollar challenge to fight him. He did a hell of a rap, actually, introducing the thing. I'm not even sure what this award is for. They showed 100 nominees. Punk won for something. He had a wooden mannequin and a Dynamic Dudes t-shirt. He found a Dynamic Dudes t-shirt. I assume this must have been from like Jim Cornette's basement. It's the only place on Earth that I could fathom there would be a Dynamic Dudes t-shirt laying around. They did a tribute to John Laurinaitis set to Stan Bush's The Touch. It had clips of John Laurinaitis with a mullet, wiggling his hips, doing a thumbs up, pointing at the camera. This is a 1 million star video. Lita was here, free on bail, walking around, not driving into anyone. It was the Divalicious Slammy. Kelly won. It was bullshit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Dude, we had Karma killing Michelle was a nominee, and Natalya doing a double sharpshooter, and Beth doing the super bitch clamp to Eve, and Kelly won just for being Kelly.
Yeah.
I term this bullshit. So I was ecstatic when Pin Up Strong came out, and I was sad when Kelly and Lita scared them away. Santino and the Bellas presented the Oh My God moment of the year. Hunter won for tombstoning The Undertaker. Hunter got in a line where he said that Taker is no more and the streak is dead, so of course they're going to have a rematch.
Actually, you know what? I was at WrestleMania, and I was there in the building live when Triple H hit that tombstone, and then The Undertaker kicked out. And more so than any other award on this show, legitimately, that probably was the Oh My God moment of the year, because that place came absolutely, completely, totally unglued. That's one of the biggest pops I've ever seen in my entire life. And grown men were leaping up and down and gasping and covering their mouths and grabbing their wives. It was amazing.
I believe you.
That was an Oh My God moment of the year right there, for real.
Well, I do think it's funny. I was skipping the nominees to save time, but I will list them here because one of them does not fit. As noted, Triple H tombstoning The Undertaker. Rock bottom on John Cena at WrestleMania. CM Punk leaving the company, walking out of the building with the WWE Championship, and the walkout of Triple H.
Yes.
One of these does not fit.
Yeah, two of them don't fit, actually. The CM Punk was an Oh My God moment, because nobody was expecting him to win the title at that pay-per-view. So that really does count. But again, I was at WrestleMania, and the reaction for Rock attacking Cena, I didn't want to say it wasn't even the same universe. Like, you'd have to have multiple universe bubbles, and these were separated by a light year. Not even close. I mean, people were apathetic. I shouldn't say they were apathetic. But compared to the tombstone, apathetic for Rock attacking John Cena.
So anyway, yes, Hunter got in that line about Taker being no more, and the streak has come to an end. And then he talked about how he's going to beat up Kevin Nash with a hammer. David Otunga and Tony Atlas came out to present the trending star of the year.
This, as voted on in 20 minutes by the fans tonight.
This was awful. Yeah, Tony, I had forgotten about this until right now.
This is far worse than the Jim Ross segment. Yes.
Shorter.
It was far worse.
This was 3 minutes of awful as opposed to 15 minutes
it
of awful.
It felt like 30 minutes of awful with that laugh.
It was, yes, it was Tony Atlas laughing at Otunga for no reason. This was horrendous. So the gimmick was...
And people are still wondering what he was laughing about.
Otunga. He said, I'm laughing at you.
He couldn't say I was laughing at your bow tie.
No, just you. I'm laughing at you. I'm fine. I was fine with this explanation. I'm laughing at you. That's all I needed, dear. So the gimmick is they were doing a four-way. And the winner of the four-way got nothing. But the whoever got the most, who was trending highest, I guess is what you would say, they would win a slammy. And they hyped this with the most annoying video ever of just every mention of the word trending on WWE television this year. This sucked.
Yep, it sure did.
Then we got a match. Zack Ryder versus Cody Rhodes versus Brian... I almost said Brian Danielson. Versus Daniel Bryan versus Dolph Ziggler. This match ruled.
It was great.
I was dearly in love with this match.
Well, I would be too, since it was the first match that went more than 1 minute in an hour and a half of horrible television.
That helped. But I just love the spirit of this match. Let's take four guys. They're all like in the upper mid-card region. And just say, look.
Or something like that.
Well, whatever. But to say, look, you four guys, your job is to go out there and steal the show. Do whatever you have to do to entertain people.
Steal a show from Tony
David
Atlas.
Otunga, yes. So, yeah, they had a hell of a match. There were big dive spots. There were big spots, but then when they were not doing spots, it never felt scripted and phony.
This was a great match, I'm not going
like
to lie.
It felt like four dudes having a big gang fight, and every once in a while they do something big and choreographed and cool. And the heels were trying to work together for the entire match until finally they turned on each other and fought. There was a double superplex spot, which scared the piss out of me. And then eventually Dolph pinned Daniel Bryan with a zigzag. It feels like a nitpick. It's actually kind of a big deal. There was no point to this finish. You would think we'd have Zach pin Dolph or something, but Dolph pinned Bryan, which accomplishes nothing. But this match ruled. I want more stuff like this. So, of course, Zach won for trending the most. He got a slammy, but Dolph laid him out. Christian came out to present Game Changer of the Year. Wanted to know why he was not nominated for this, or nominated for Superstar of the Year, for that matter.
I think you should keep in mind that Dolph Ziggler pinned Daniel Bryan.
All right.
Go on.
All right. The winner for Game Changer of the Year was Rock and Cena booking themselves against each other. So Cena comes out to accept the award. He introduces Rock. Place goes crazy. And then he realizes, oh, wait, that's right. Rock's not here. But we have a video. Oh, wait, turns out we don't have a video. And I'm thinking, this is the moment where he's gonna bury the Rock for walking out in the company yet again. And he's going to talk about how all the fans cheer for him. But Rock doesn't care about them. And the fans have the audacity to boo him who shows up. And this, I thought this was going to be a great moment. And instead, he has talked about how great Rock is and how he hopes he motivates Rock to have a good match at Mania.
Yeah, they thought that he'd come out of this babyface. Clueless.
It's not that he came out of a babyface or heel. He came out of it boring.
He came out of it annoying.
Sure.
If I have to hear one more time that Rock ain't here, he comes off as... This is like... Rock is a giant movie star. Okay? Rock wanted a new career. Rock went out and achieved. Great! What is your problem? John Cena is supposed to be a babyface pointing this out. I just like, who writes this stuff? Who has their finger, like, not even close to any pulse? It's infuriating to me. I was infuriated watching this. I don't know.
I was indifferent. I wanted Cena to be angry, and Cena was...
But he's never going to be.
I know.
I don't know what they think they're accomplishing here with him coming out and crying that The Rock's not here. Okay, Rock, guess what? Rock's got better things to do.
Yes.
That's a fact. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm sorry that WWE is not the be-all and end-all in the life of The Rock. Okay? He has moved on to bigger and better things. Quite frankly, they should thank God every day that he comes back at all. Drives me nuts. It's one of Vince's things. It's was it Patrice O'Neill? Is that his name?
The comedian who
comedian
passed.
Who died, and yeah. He was on the WWE creative team.
Like an hour?
For an hour or so, and he had a comedy gig. And he chose the comedy gig over WWE, and Stephanie was absolutely outraged. How dare you? How dare you choose comedy over WWE? So she called and fired him. And I guess she expected him to call back and apologize. Oh, Your Highness, I apologize for taking a comedy gig over WWE. But he didn't. He didn't care. He just ignored it.
Yeah.
And she could not fathom that somebody was ignoring her calling to fire them for not showing up to WWE. And she called and fired him again. And she called and fired him like six times. It's a true story. She called and called and called and kept firing him, waiting for when he'd finally call and apologize for having something else in his life that was more important than WWE. And it's like Vince's big thing. This is how you make millions of dollars from Vince McMahon, everybody. Those of you listening to this right now. You have to, when you get sick of WWE, you've got to leave and not look back. And not answer his calls, and not call him, and not grovel and beg. Just walk away and let Vince McMahon know that there are bigger and more important things in your life than WWE. And then he will be begging. He will be begging you to come back. And he will throw tons of money at you. This is a fact. If you look at the people that have made the most money from WWE, they are the people that have told Vince to fuck off, and they've walked away. Those are the ones that he just has to get back. And he will throw so much money at these people. But the people that, oh, I've been fired, but my God, the WWE was the best job of my life, and I hope so badly to go back there someday. There's no place in the world like WWE. They're going to bring you back at half of what you were making before, if they bring you back at all. It's just the way it is. That's why you have to. We have to listen to this every, at least once a month. We have to have John Cena go out there on television and cry that Rock is not around. Because it's Vince getting out his frustrations that the Rock moved on, and he became a huge success in Hollywood, and all of Vince's movies lose money, and Rock doesn't give a shit. But I'm sick listening to it, personally.
We had Alberto and Miz versus Orton and Cena. A week or two ago on the show, we had an argument about whether Miz's haircut qualified as a faux hawk. Tonight, the mohawk was in full effect. This was outrageous. So, they had a house show match, basically. It was a tag match.
These guys didn't give a shit at all. They didn't care.
No. Now, that being said, when Randy Orton got the hot tag, this building went ballistic. It was pretty insane. So, that was for a tease of Orton's hot tag. He actually never got it because Wade Barrett ran down, yanked him off the apron. Orton gave chase. Liz left Punk alone, and he was pinned with the skull-crushing finale. So Miz and Alberto, who you recall have a three-way with Punk in 6 days at this point, they tortured him with a ladder for a while, and Miz vowed that one of us will take the title from you. There was no heat for any of this. Kane video, which in hindsight seems like a waste. Vicky and Goldust came out to present the A-lister of the year. I will again read the nominees. The Muppets, Snooki, CeeLo, and Hugh Jackman. This makes it patently clear that wrestlers are not A-listers.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about, I believe it was SummerSlam when CeeLo did a song. We talked about him on the show, I think, but we...
And by the way, notice Rock was not listed as an A-lister here?
Of course not. We did not make enough of a big deal about CeeLo's outfit when he did his song. A sequined choir robe.
Mm-hmm.
That was astounding.
Special sort of outfit.
Yeah. So Snooki won. And this made me laugh. Rock did not do a video. Snooki did.
Yeah.
Yes. Snooki.
What the hell is she doing right now?
Apparently a lot. I don't know. But Snooki cares about this show more than Rock does.
Oh, Rock's in the middle of actually filming a movie.
Rock does have a job, yes.
And Jersey Shore doesn't start again until January. So she's probably just sitting in the tanning booth all day.
I'm sure she did do this 3-minute video for an easy couple thousand, yes. She also called Zack Ryder her fellow Guido and wished him luck.
Yeah.
Henry interview, said he beat up show and beat up Cena tonight.
Mm.
Sheamus came out. Jinder Mahal came out. Sheamus kicked him and the segment ended. I don't know if this was a match. I don't know if it was supposed to be a match. I don't know. That's all that happened.
It's called We Spent Too Much Time on Other Stuff.
Ray came out to award the Superstar of the Year. It went to Punk, which is bullshit, since Mark Henry was right there. So Punk won, but he could not accept. Laurinaitis came out instead, said Punk was too hurt, and he was accepting on his behalf. They had the main event. It was Mark Henry and John Cena. They're doing a match, and Henry hits the world's strongest slam, and this is the cue for Kane to make his return. Kane comes out. He's got some goofy gear that's like it's supposed to be all stitched together like he made it in his basement or something. He's got
he's got a big red sewing machine.
He does. He has big red yarn. And he had a metal helmet on, so Henry fled, and Kane chokeslammed Cena, and he pulled off the metal helmet to reveal his, I think it was the last mask he wore, where his mouth is exposed, so theoretically he can still talk. And in like the 4 months he's been gone, he's grown a foot of hair.
Well, it's a wig.
I know that.
Raw Go Home Show, everybody.
That was the Go Home Show for the pay-per-view.
Yeah. How about that?
Hands back.
Let's play a song, then we'll do tribute to the troops.
Do you know what beef is, Brian? Beef? Beef is when you need two guests to go to sleep. Beef is when your mom ain't safe up in the streets.
Beef?
I see you.
But I heard that there's heat, a beef. Beef.
I think you. Guaranteed to be your I think you. And I'm through. You know what beef is, Brian?
I eat it. I love when Todd Martin just starts spouting rap lyrics in the middle of a show.
Well, he's from the hood.
He is. He's from the mean streets of Washington, D.C., which actually are some pretty mean streets.
There's some goddamn mean streets in D.C.
From what I've heard. I've been there before. Remember when I went to Washington, D.C. in 8th grade?
Mm-hmm.
I will never forget when... I don't remember anything in my life. But I do remember that when we went to Washington, D.C., this is like the only thing I remember from the entire trip. And I remember, I remember that we did do something in Washington, D.C., and then we went to New York, and I remember we went up the Statue of Liberty, which was, like, the biggest waste of time of my life. There's a million people there in this tiny, rickety staircase, and you can't see a thing, and then you get up to the top, and you look around for, like, 2 seconds, and then you gotta go back down. It's a total waste of time.
That does about sum it up.
Yeah, but I do remember, aside from that, that when we got to Washington, D.C., we got in the bus, and there was this elderly black fellow that was driving the bus, and he said, "I don't know what it's like in Seattle, but around here we got some bad traffic." And we went 40 miles an hour the entire time.
Yeah.
And I thought, you need to go to Seattle, where we go so slow on the freeway during rush hour that we're going backwards. It's how bad things are in Seattle. I don't know what the hell that had to do. Oh, yeah, Washington, D.C.
I actually, just I have to mention this, I did enjoy the Statue of Liberty, not because of the statue itself or anything, but because we were one of many school tours going through the statue that day, and as we're all going up the stairwell, I don't know who started it, but we all broke out in a mass rendition of Bismarck's "You Got What I Need."
I don't remember that at all.
I do.
You must have gone in before or after me.
Must have been.
All right, tribute to the troops, speaking of the Statue of Liberty.
That's right. So the show opened with a video of all the superstars saying nice things about soldiers and everything they do.
Before we go any further, This is very different from every other tribute to the troops.
Yes.
It was inside, in a building, with angles. It was SmackDown.
Yeah, I actually put that at the end of my report, but yes. This was SmackDown on Tuesday, with a few musical breaks, and that's about it. So they got the video of everyone thanking the troops for all the great things they do and how proud they are and how thankful they are, and one of the people talking is Randy Orton. This is comedy.
Randy Orton did, in fact, go AWOL.
Yeah.
Dishonorably discharged from the military.
Yes. So, they were at an actual arena. They had a big-ass fancy set and pyro like a pay-per-view. Had a video message from the president, highlight of which was Justin Roberts pronouncing Barack Obama's name.
Mm-hmm.
We had Orton versus Wade. This is their first singles match, I think, of all the few they've been doing. I mean, it's actually may have started with a singles match, but they've been building up to a match between the two. They're having a tables match on the pay-per-view in 5 days, so of course there was not a clean finish here. They brawled on the floor for a double countout, and they got a table. brawled over for a while when who should attack Randy Orton but David Otunga.
David Otunga attacked Randy Orton, everyone.
Wade just left, embarrassed to be in the same ring with that guy. And Orton cut Otunga off and powerbombed him through a table. I love that Randy only uses a powerbomb when there's a table in the vicinity. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just not in his repertoire. They had about 20 little quick video promos of celebrities thanking the troops. We got Jake Gyllenhaal here. Wade.
Don't get me started.
I'm not going to. Wade cut a promo backstage. He said Otunga got what he deserved. He said Randy had, quote, a unique ability to aggravate people.
I'm not going to go on a big rant, but I just got to make one statement here, since otherwise I'm going to be thinking about it all night. When one day Justin Roberts says, and now the President of the United States of America, Brian Alvarez. When I'm president, everybody will be required to spell their name the same way, and they will all be required to pronounce it the same way. I just wanted to get that out there. Which does mean, in fact, that I will probably have to change the spelling of my first name to B-R-I-A-N. I am okay with that. I will be the first person to make this change. But this is the way things are going to be. It's not fair for infants to be given stupid names, names spelled in a stupid manner, or names pronounced in a stupid manner, so that you have to grow up and every single person you meet has to spell or say your name the wrong way. So when I'm president, just be prepared. Many of you that have youngsters now or are planning to have youngsters in the future, you could save yourself the trouble and just give them a name that's spelled like everybody else or pronounced like everybody else. There will be no Jose's when I'm president. You may continue.
Or Gyllenhaals.
Or Gyllenhaals. Unless you're a girl. Go ahead.
Nickelback came out to do the theme from Raw. Nickelback is famous for being a band everyone hates. And Chad Kroeger is famous for being like the ugliest rock star in rock. This was really awesome. And Chad Kroeger looks much better with his new haircut.
I was going to say, hold on a second. This guy is the ugliest guy in rock.
Look up some photos. Just Google Chad Kroeger ugly. Now, I'll do it right now.
Listen, I don't see a lot of bands. But I've seen some really ugly dudes in bands in my lifetime.
He's on the list of 10 ugliest musicians. He's among the 100 unsexiest men in the world.
So is Triple H. Chad Kroeger.
Chad Kroeger is butt fuck ugly, it says.
Ugly. He's up there with Axl Rose, it looks like.
Yeah. He got a haircut. I think he also trimmed his eyebrows significantly, which helps.
Let me see the complete list here.
But the point is, I went into this dreading it, and you know what? This was great.
They did a hell of a job doing the Raw theme.
This was fun.
They actually did a better job doing the Raw theme than Raw normally sounds.
Yes.
How is Osama bin Laden on this list?
He's not a rock star. He was not a handsome fellow.
See, this just isn't right when you put Roger Ebert number third. This is a man.
That's just cruel.
That's not very nice.
No.
So this fella here, Bill Jensen and Ryan Stewart, should be 1 and 2 in the list of unsexiest men. All right, go on. There you go, Chad Kroeger.
Yeah.
Massive head, weird face, and bad hair.
Well, he fixed his hair.
It's also the fact that he's in Nickelback, the worst band since the dawn of music. Listen, I'm not a Nickelback fan or anything like that, but have you not listened to other bands? There are, in fact, bands much worse than Nickelback. Go on.
We got clips of WWE superstars jumping out of a goddamn plane. They did a shot of...
Tougher than me.
CM Punk, Kofi Kingston, Alberto, Cody Rhodes, and Eve walking down the runway in slow motion like the right stuff. That made me laugh. They all seemed to have a good time. Had Jack Swagger versus Zack Ryder. Swagger had Dolph with him, so Zack came out with Sergeant Slaughter. This led to Dolph hitting a clothesline on the floor and Sarge clotheslining Dolph over the announce table.
Why in God's name did the air conditioning come on in this house?
That is not where I thought you were going to go with this.
Hold on a minute. Take your time. I'll be back.
Now hit pause. Just hit pause.
What? Why?
Because I don't want to talk.
Just do the next match. I'll be back in 2 seconds.
I hate doing this by myself, unless I'm drunk and I'm very sober right now. God damn it. Jack Swagger wrestled Zack Ryder. I said all this. Sarge came out. Sarge tried to do the woo-woo-woo thing with Zack, but he ended up, instead of pumping his fist, he did the Rob Van Dam point both hands at yourself motion. That made me laugh. He failed to fist pump correctly. So Dolph goes to the floor. Zack goes to the floor. Dolph hits a clothesline on Zack. This leads to Sergeant Slaughter clotheslining Dolph over the announce desk. Brian was outraged that Dolph had taken a bump for Sergeant Slaughter. I didn't care, because I have no standards for wrestling anymore. So Zack got back in the ring. He made his comeback. He pinned, as my notes read here, he pinned Wagger. He pinned Jack Swagger with a Rough Rider, and then Sarge put him in the Cobra Clutch, and that was that.
I'm back. I mostly wanted to see if I could hear your voice resonating throughout the house, which I could, by the way.
Of course.
I should know that,
you consider yourself lucky.
The reason the air came on is because somehow it's hit 75 degrees in this house.
That's impressive, because it's about 25 outside.
Which I blame on your hot air.
That's much better than what was that? You said something lame earlier. This is better.
Oh, Flowhawk?
Is it the one you just waited and waited and waited?
Yeah. It's getting funnier each time.
Ray, Eve, and Big Show thanked Slim Jim for supporting the troops.
Chad Kroger had a Flowhawk.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman thanking the servicemen. Bella Twins visited West Point. They went through the same obstacle course that the soldiers did. They did badly.
Well, we don't know. It was edited.
They even said they did better in practice. Bella's and Pinup Strong versus Eve and Kelly and Alicia and Maria Menounos.
Yeah, it's funny. I love the fact that, like, people are upset because you still are calling it the bitch clamp after all these years.
Sure.
But you do not hesitate every single time without fail to refer to them by their brand new name of Pinup Strong.
All right.
I'm just entertained by it.
I was not aware that I had been doing that for a long time.
No, you haven't. It just started.
Mm.
But you're passionate about this name.
Well, you know why I call that move the bitch clamp? Because the bitch clamp is a great name. It needs to be kept around.
I see.
Glam Slam is a serious step down from bitch clamp. Hmm. Whereas Pinup Strong is better than Beth and Natalia.
I guess.
That's why. Same reason I call the FU instead of the AA.
The AA is a horrible name.
It is.
The FU is not much better.
It is definitely better. It was better when he first started using it, because it was a move that was similar to the F5, and the name was a takeoff of the F5, and he was coming back to get Brock Lesnar, which went badly for him. But still, that was creative. AA is just stupid. So they showed clips of Maria Menounos slapping Beth 2 years ago. I'm fairly certain that Maria is better than Kelly right now.
Oh, absolutely, without question.
I was going to say, if not, she would be with like a month of training tops. So this very quickly broke down into an eight-way, and Maria and Beth were alone in the ring, and Beth was stalking her, but Maria dodged and pinned her with a sunset flip. She's better than Kelly. She's probably better than both Bellas, so I had no problem with her pinning Beth here.
And she is lovely.
She's a fine-looking lass. Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy did a troops video.
Move on!
No, I have to say this quickly.
Oh, no.
This Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy did a troops video. Then Celine Dion did one. Celine Dion was phonier than the Muppets. That's all I got
to
say.
I'm not going to say anything. I don't like to make fun of people.
George Wallace came out to do stand-up.
This guy was great.
Was he now?
He wasn't early, but he grew on me by the end. Early on, it was like, wait a second. This not very funny fella performs every night in Vegas. I missed my calling. But by the end, he started to kind of grow on me a little bit. And I think if I saw him live, I'd be wildly entertained.
Comedy is much better live. That is, I don't know if you've ever even, except for Norm, have you ever been to a stand-up show?
Fans were howling in the audience.
They found people howling. I watched this thinking, this has convinced me to never, ever, ever pay to see this man perform.
I bet he'd be pretty good.
I'm sure live would be awesome. Live comedy is fun. And he also said that all troops who came to see him at the Flamingo in Vegas would get in for free. So that was very nice.
Sure.
And Daniel Bryan versus Cody Rhodes. Cody was in control literally the entire match. He leaned through the ropes to yell at Booker. Booker punched him, and Bryan rolled him up for the win and then immediately disappeared. This win did nothing for Daniel Bryan. So Booker and Cody had a brawl. Booker is out there in dress shoes and slacks and a vest over his dress shirt and his tie tucked into the vest. None of this ever came out of place. Looked fantastic. He needs to wrestle in this outfit on Sunday. He did his little brawl, hit a backdrop, Cody bailed. Then he even did a spin rune in the outfit.
He's a great fella.
He is great. Carson Daly did a troops video. Mary J. Blige did a song. The tag team champs, for the first time in what felt like months, were back on screen together as a pair. And they were just there. No acknowledgement they'd ever been apart. Miss USA walked in. They all did Kofi's hand clap deal.
Her career ended.
She was walking around backstage in her gown and sash. And we never saw her again.
Why in the hell is Miss USA here? Her sash.
Don't know. Eve sat down with J.R. Martinez to grade various dancing wrestlers. This is the man who, I believe he won Dancing with the Stars. I know he's competed on it. So he watches like Santino do his wacky dance. He gives a 7. And Cole does a wacky dance. He gives him a 3. And then Eve, the professional dancer, does her thing. And it's awesome. And he gave her a 9.
Well, she had clothes on.
He thought she could have done better.
Yeah.
That amused me.
She could have been nude.
High standards for this man. Air Boom versus Epico and Primo. It went like 3 minutes. The Colognes won with the Backcracker, which is apparently the family finisher now. Presumably this will set up a title match. Matthew McConaughey did a video. Nickelback did their new song.
I'm sick to death of that song.
This song and songs like it are the reason people hate Nickelback so much.
This song and Survivor Series theme. If I never hear them again, it will be too soon.
Yeah, this is a... It's not a good song. It's wimpy and namby-pamby, and the drum line is lifted directly from Aerosmith's Ragdoll. Christina Aguilera's boobs did a video.
Yes, they did. Confirmed.
There they were. Christian came out.
I loved... The best part of it was...
Her boobs.
I don't know how she managed to do this, but she had, like... her entire breasts out, but in at the same time. So, I mean, it was impossible to not just stare at them. And at the end of it, she goes, from my family to yours. And when she said my family, she just pointed straight at her two boobs. She did. How could you miss it?
I wasn't watching her hands. Christian came out. He started to talk about how the Canadian army was clearly superior when Sheamus interrupted. Christian fled for safety. We got Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre, who is still alive. He is also Hulk Hogan tan. Sheamus won a squash with the bro kick. Jimmy Fallon did a video until Sheamus beat him up. Regis did a video.
He actually sold great for Sheamus. Not going to lie.
Regis plugged Freddie Blassie, Hulk Hogan, the Iron Sheik, here on Tribute to the Troops, Sergeant Slaughter, and John Cena. Mary J. Blige did another song. We skipped it. Bradley Cooper did a video.
I had it up to here with singing.
He showed Mark Henry visiting the National Guard. The star power of the National Guard drew was, yes, they got Mark Henry, the World Heavyweight Champion. They also got Hornswoggle, Jinder Mahal, and AJ.
You do what you can do.
This is what the Guard gets. So we had the main event of Alberto, Miz, and Mark Henry versus Cena, Punk, and Big Show. The most amazing thing happened in this match, and no, I'm not talking about Big Show casual or Mark Henry casually body slamming Big Show. CM Punk and John Cena, quite possibly the two least coordinated men in WWE, managed to pull off a double leapfrog spot without breaking all four of their legs.
It was amazing.
It was astounding.
Good.
I wanted to go back and watch it again to make sure my eyes hadn't deceived me. So it turned into a fun match. Punk hit the Randy Savage elbow off Big Show's shoulders. And after this, they cut Punk off for the heat. Cena got the hot tag. The crowd was all soldiers and children, so Cena was adored this evening. And everyone hit a big move, and Show hit the knockout punch on Henry, and Henry turned around, and Cena hit the FU for the pin. Yes, 6 men in this match. One of them is not on the pay-per-view, and he's the one who got the win.
And he pinned Mark Henry.
And he pinned the world champion. So then everyone on the roster came out on the stage, and Cena did a big heartfelt thank you to the soldiers, a very nice speech. And the show felt long, even though we skipped parts of it. And putting it in the arena instead of an outdoor setting made it feel like...
Most years it's an hour, and this year was 2 hours, so it was twice as long.
That might be it, too. But yes, it did feel... It really did feel like just another WWE show. It wasn't a terrible show.
Yes. It was a fine wrestling show. All right, let's play a song, and then we... I think we got some shout-outs here, so let's play this real quick. Gracie. No one should terrify their neighborhood. Gracie. Just won't be undone. Playing pranks on everyone. What was that?
Something just fell.
I hope that wasn't a cat falling off the railing. The game
will reign supreme. Cat invasion. They're coming into the studio.
Talk about my wife's underwear on this show.
Why no?
But
no, you should not.
The laundry was laid out in the room today. I guess she folded it or something.
This better not involve sniffing, is all I can say.
Whatever people do with underwear, anyway, or clothes that you wash. I walk into the room and Snork is in fact wearing her underwear.
Hmm.
Yeah. And of course, with the guilty cat look. I was like, Snork, you can't do this. So anyway, keep your cats out of the laundry, everybody. I got a picture of it.
That was a great story.
You had to have been there. You know, you the cats do weird things, but I never thought I'd see the day where I'd walk in and the cat would just be nonchalantly sitting there in my wife's underwear. But that's what she did. That's what she said, is stick her head through. So, what should we do? Shout-outs?
You said there were shout-outs. Were you lying?
I don't know. I didn't really look around here. I forgot it was a free show today, so I should probably look.
It's 10 to 2. We could have stopped.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm totally serious.
I'd really like to stop, but if we don't do these, we only do a free Brian and Vinny like once a month now. So, last time we did it was November 23rd. So, if I skip out... Oh, God, we've got a lot of them.
Go! You must go, go!
All right, this is from John. Brian and Vinny, I've been sitting on my shout-out for a while. I'd like to use it to promote my This ain't gonna work.
Just call it a night. Come on, dude.
I have been sitting on my shout-out for a while. I would like to use it to promote my own website, thefndc.com. This website is dedicated to the drinking culture. You know what I'm gonna do? No, I can't do that. Actually, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to make a command decision here. I am not going to read the shout-outs tonight. I know everybody wants their shout-out to be read on the free show so that the most people can hear it. But if there is a show that is heard by everyone far and wide in the Empire, a shout-out that will allow you to live forever in the history of the Empire, it is the Christmas show. What if I read these during the Christmas show?
I guess it's not a bad idea in case...
Actually, the problem... I can't do that, because I got like a dozen here, and if I don't read them today, I'm going to have 8,000 people sending me shout-outs for the Christmas show.
That's actually an excellent point. All right, if you let's say, get yes, going. Just go.
I've been sitting on my shout-out for a while. I like to use it to promote my own website, thefndc.com. The website is dedicated to the drinking culture in Sacramento, California. It features drink recipes for the home bartender, bar reviews, and local happy hours in our area. Our YouTube channel is always adding drink recipe videos, so if everyone in the F4W Observer Empire enjoys it and subscribes to it. Shout out to the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Granny, Ed in San Antonio, Jake the Snake, and Kirk Angel. Remember him?
Isn't that Jericho's name for him?
Something like that.
Yeah.
TheFNDC.com. That's from Jack Hammer on the board.
Hell of a shout out right there. If I was in Sacramento, I'd go drinking with you.
If you haven't figured it out already, if you sign up today, you get a free shout out. So sign up and then send it to me, brian@wrestlingobserver.com. Put shout out in the subject line. If you listen to these, you'll find out why you should sign up, other than the fact that if you don't sign up this week, you're not going to be able to hear the two-hour drunken Christmas show we're doing sometime before Christmas. So here we go. Jamie here, Jamie OD. I've been a member of the Empire since March 2009. Decided to finally use my free shout out so I can give my opinion on a very controversial topic. I support piracy in pro wrestling. Piracy was the only way Paul Burchill could get over in WWE.
Oh, the wit.
Vinny did not like Jamie OD's shout out. Jamie, I thought you did a fine job.
Not sure Paul Burchill liked the shout out. Probably thinks he's making fun of him.
Paul Burchill's happy someone remembered Paul Burchill.
Maybe so.
All right. Let's see here. Oh, we don't have as many as I thought. Brian and Vinny, I've been a subscriber since Hector was an embryo and thought it was high time to cash in my shout-out. Shout-out to Gregory Iron's Twitter petition to enter the Royal Rumble at Gregory Iron on Twitter.
Well, do no good.
Seriously, it'd be better seeing him in the Rumble than having Hornswoggle waddle down the aisle and hide for a half hour. Plus, it seems that Twitter petitions are how you get things done in WWE. Actually, they were not happy with the Gregory Iron Twitter petition. Shoutouts to the real TSM.com. Dr. Venkman. My God, a Ghostbuster reference. Pro Wrestling Ohio Absolute Intense Wrestling at Fair2AAR. And last but not least, SEP. Keep up the magnanimous work, gentlemen.
Ooh, good work.
Your podcast, Keep My Days in Cubicle Land, chugging along at a good clip. That is from the Monsoon Classic. At Monsoon_Classic for those of you on Twitter. At Brian Alvarez, for those of you on Twitter as well. All right, this is from James. Oh, this is the right place to send shout-outs. Indeed it is. I've been a member of the site for about 3 years now. I already don't know how I ever lived without it. However, as much as I love your shows, my girlfriend is not so thrilled. She now has to go to sleep every night to the sound of Brian and Vinny's Impact rants from the archives. I've decided to cash in my free shout-out to apologize to her, so please tell Claire I'm sorry. And I love her very much. Claire, I'm sorry, and I love you very much.
Claire, he's a wrestling fan. You can probably do better.
Thanks to everyone at F4W Wrestling Observer for the great work you do. And Freeloaders is the best $11 I have ever spent. So sign up today, and you won't regret it. That is James in Oxford, England. And Claire, it's not so bad. It's a lot more horrible things he could be listening to.
You will learn to love us.
No, you won't. But
you learn to love me.
Again, you could be listening to, like, Don Imus or something.
I'm still on.
I've never listened to Don Imus in my life. That was just the first name that came into my mind. All right. This is from Jake. I have been a subscriber to the website for a little over a year now after hearing a fine rant from the two of you on TNA and Vince Russo from a free show and thought this was as good a time to cash in my free shout-out as any. First of all, a big kudos to all the people who contribute to this site for everyone's enjoyment. The amount of content provided on the site is well worth the $10.99 a month price tag. I'd like to thank you and Vinny for the hours of entertainment you provided me while at work. It made the long hours fly by, made my coworkers look at me like I was a crazy when I would burst into hysterics at a Chic or Satchel-ass song. You may have noticed me using the past tense in the previous statements because that time is no more. You see, I was recently fired from my job.
Oh.
And have been unable to find work in the 2 months since. Though at all this time, all of the shows, past and present, have helped me keep my spirits up and a smile on my face. The drops and songs on the show even inspired me to once create a song of my own entitled Rockin' Around the Great Khali. That was actually a great song. A novice effort compared to others, I will admit, though there may have been a chuckle or two from the two of you. Anyway, that is about enough of my despair and inadequacies, as I intend to make this a joyous post and not a sad one. A giant shout-out to my wonderful girlfriend, who upon discovery of my love for pro wrestling, has sat with me to watch and actually grown to like it. Wow. This is insane to think of in the modern age, I know, but I have shown her some of the classics as well. She is definitely a keeper. A big fuck you to a certain company that will remain nameless, as I don't wish to give them the publicity. To the freeloaders, I just say this. If my unemployed ass can find a way to pay $10.99 every month, you have no fucking excuse. Sign up! Anyway, that is all for me, as I feel I've rambled on long enough. I thank you for your time. I leave with two questions. Do you think WWE will ever hold a WrestleMania in Dallas? And yes. Will Mikey Whipwreck be back on the show? I would not be surprised if it was in Dallas next year.
Yeah, 2013.
Probably because the idea is it will probably be the final match of Steve Austin. So what better place than in Texas? So likely Dallas 2013. There's a scoop for everybody. And Mike Whipwreck should actually be on the show soon. Perhaps even the Christmas show coming up in a few weeks.
If we are lucky.
That's right. All right. Let's see. This is from Avash. Been a member for over 2 years now. Finally decided to use my shout out. I've never had anything to plug, and, well, I still don't. But!
I don't know why that made me laugh.
Want to send a shout-out to you and Vinny. I have been sick literally all week with a horrible flu, and I have had nothing to do all the time, so I've been listening to Brian and Vinny shows from early 2007, leading up to WrestleMania 23. Good times! So, yeah, shout-out to you two for giving me something fun to listen to while shoving my face in a bowl of soup all week. That is from Vash.
I would say the best time to listen to the show is when you're suffering from a heavy fever. Mm-hmm. Your brain's malfunctioning.
Amazingly, that's it.
All right, that wasn't so bad.
Had a couple of a double up here that I thought I would have to do. Anyway, everybody, we're out of here. Christmas show's coming up in a couple of weeks. If you are a subscriber, go into the archives, check out some of the past Christmas shows. This year, I can't say it will be better, but we're going to do one. So you're going to be excited for that. I'm going to call all our friends, some special guests as well. And it's going to be a good time, and you can only hear it if you're a subscriber. So if ever there was a time to spend $10.99 for the Brian and Vinny Show, Wrestling Observer Radio, all of the shows we do, 10 to 15 shows every week, and over 6,000 shows in the archives, they can all be yours for $10.99 a month. Now is the time. And if you can't bring yourself to do it, tell somebody you want it for Christmas. And believe me, once you give it a shot, you will never want to quit. So, we're going to wrap it up here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Tomorrow, we'll be back with a couple of shows. Josh Nason and I are going to be joined by Gilbert Melendez. And later on in the afternoon, Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer. And Thursday, we're going to be joined by Todd Martin and a special show with the Cubs fan and Dr. Lucha, talking the year-end Lucha shows and the year-end review. It's going to be great! So check it all out. New Figure 4, new Observer up in the next couple of days. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Bye.